and welcome to Awesome Fishing Radio. And Captain Steve couldn't be with us today. He's kind of playing sick. And we've got Captain Keith Kopflosch.
Keelan, it's good to be with you again.
And it's good to have you over here. How do you like the new studio compared to the old one?
It's much more relaxed.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's nice to have a nice something cold to sip on while we're talking. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking alcoholic here. We're just talking about a nice tea. A nice green tea.
Why
is
do you
great.
Need some alcohol for it?
Depends what topics are.
But it's good to have you come over and take a little bit of time away from the east side over there and to spend some time with us. And it would have been, we had Captain Steve, he was going to be here, but like I said, he was kind of really sick. And when he told me, he said, I'll come on in there. And I thought, I don't think we really want
to
catch that.
He
sounded like really bad. So I had a little cold last week, but it's nothing like what he sounded like. I said, is it a cold or a flu? I think it's a cold. I said, it sounds like you're dying.
Well, I'm glad he stayed away.
Exactly.
It doesn't sound good.
But I know you've been doing a lot of fishing.
You bet.
Have you started your ice fishing up in Chicago any?
Never. I've never ice fished. To me, ice is something that goes in a drink.
Have you been up there lately?
Well, you know, I occasionally travel up there to speak, but that's all.
Okay. Is it started?
Rest of the time, I'm here.
Has it started
here.
Getting cold up there yet?
Last time I went, it was starting to cool off, you know, kind of fall stuff. You
know,
you're able to see the different seasons up there.
Yeah, I know my son's in Kentucky, and he said, Dad, it's starting to get cold. So
I
said, well, we'll maybe come up and pick you up for Christmas break, you know, drive up. I said, where I can see snow or something. I know you don't need to see snow. You see tons of it. Last time I talked to you last year.
Yeah,
you
know, when you're up there once a month, I will go up there for a couple days every month. And, yeah, I tell you, you just get to see all the seasons.
Mm.
And, you know, it's hotter there in the summer than it is here.
Really? Why do you feel that?
Well, it is.
Really?
I mean, it'll be 90s, 100, and depending on where the wind's coming from. But, you know,
I think what hurts us here is our humidity is what kicks our honey. You know,
and of course, I like that humidity.
Mm-hmm.
My skin, I go, you know, like up there, and it's uncomfortable. My skin gets all dry and cracked. And
I know that I used to go up to West Virginia a little bit, and I will tell you, I didn't experience snow up there, but their winter up there, it like you said, it dries you out.
Yeah,
I mean, your lips are chapped. You're miserable. I'm going, how do you live like this?
Even though I'm only up there a couple of days, I'm so looking forward to get back here every time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, being home is always good, but you know, I just can't wait to get back to the. To me, that humidity feels great.
Yeah, Captain Pat D'Amico had sent me a picture on the email the other day, and it showed their cars. And he's in Pennsylvania. He has a place there and a place here in over on Tia Verde, and it had it showed these cars with snow piled all on them and all this. And I go, what's that white stuff?
Yeah.
I've never experienced it. You know, I've seen a little bit, but nothing like what this was showing.
I know. I'll talk to people up there or, you know, people that are down here from there. Because, you know, most of my charters are actually people from cold climates. You know, they come down or they go to Disney or they go whatever. And they just love it. And I'm, you know, I just much prefer our weather. I think part of it's just different people's personal preferences.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, I talk to a lot of them that moved down here, and I tell them, I say, you got tired of shoveling that stuff, didn't you? And they go, yes, I had enough of that.
And I would think as you get older, it would be more difficult.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'd hate to think that, you know, someday I would rather stay here than to go up and worry about slipping and sliding and stuff like that.
Well, you know, and I didn't think about that, but if they're older and you got that ice and you do slip and fall, I mean, you break
your
hip and hurt yourself pretty badly. So, yeah, but you know what we're going to talk about today, Keith, is the change of seasons. And we're definitely hitting that area.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things.
And the transition, as far as our West Coast fish, we see our snook and stuff start to move off the flats. They start to move up the creeks and the rivers, and they go into their winter haunts and, you know, in that type situation, which over there on your coast, your redfish and stuff, I think they kind of get a little more active when it starts getting cool. But I know when winter gets here, then they kind of...
Then it changes.
Yeah.
Well, we're right in a transition right now, and there's a lot of things that are going on that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different from the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And because if we start talking Mosquito Lagoon, Indian River lagoons,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's stay away from the open ocean, but we're talking about lagoon systems right now,
mm-hmm.
then there's a couple things going on. One is we've had real high water conditions. Now,
mm-hmm.
a lot of folks think the water conditions are only from rain, things like that. Or a lot of people come over from West Coast and they'll say, well, it must be high tide.
Exactly.
Wrong. There's no tide. We literally have no tide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is down near the inlets. But if you're in the general Mosquito Lagoon, any northern Indian River Lagoon, you're many miles from an inlet.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a tidal influence. But in the fall and in the spring, right around the equinox, you're going to have high water. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason for that is, you know, the Earth is tilted, and as it goes around the sun, that's why we get weather. We're talking about mm-hmm. the wintertime and the summertime. Well, in the wintertime, we're tilted away from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And the southern hemisphere, you know, if we go down to Brazil, which I've fished down in there, you go down there, and their winter is the opposite time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right now so is right their now spring.
They're spring and their summer is getting ready.
That's right. And mm-hmm. so, and what happens is as they're going around the sun is a strong influence on our water. And it pulls, it's a tidal also.
Mm-hmm.
And it will pull water to the hemisphere it's closer to. So in the summertime, there's more water down there's more water down in the southern hemisphere. And then in the summertime, it goes the other way, and you go up to Alaska, there's actually more water up there then.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, we're close enough in between that in the equinox times, this bulge of water moves through as the Earth is slowly changing around,
mm-hmm.
and our water levels are going to be higher.
Mm-hmm.
And just lately, it started to drop back off again, and we're going to start getting lower. That's why you're going to see in the middle of summer, middle of winter, some real low water conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have high water conditions in the in-between times.
So you would say that influence there is the reason to our wintertime, us having these real negative low tides probably over here on this coast.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, I mean, those things are, you know, down there to where you about spit laying on the water.
And your high spring tides, mm-hmm. your high spring times is during these equinox basic tides.
Mm.
So, and then you have influences like you start getting our north winds. When the north winds blow in the Mosquito Lagoon Indian River systems,
mm-hmm.
they're basically north-south.
Mm-hmm.
And the north winds blow, it blows a whole bunch of water. The Indian River Lagoon is 152 miles long. So when that wind blows, it blows a bunch of the water to the south and our water levels drop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the changing water levels do some things to the fish. One is it does tend to group them together.
Mm-hmm.
These fish have been quite spread out. And they'll be grouped together into smaller schools, and they're in the schools, and they'll be easier to find,
mm-hmm.
because our water level, when you include the rains and stuff that happened, was very high, like 2 feet above normal,
mm-hmm.
and that really makes a difference. So it's starting to drop now, and you know, you can really start seeing it. Their fish are tailing up pretty good in Mosquito Lagoon. I was fishing Indian River Lagoon yesterday. We did pretty good. We got 9 fish. Not tailing up as much there, but you know the fish are active in this kind of weather. They like it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. They're eating good right now.
Really?
Oh, folks, get out there, man! They're eating
great. Now, are you throwing all soft and artificial, or are you throwing any bait to them? Or
I'm doing all. A lot of my fishing is based around my clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I get an expert fly fisherman on the boat and that's all they want to do is fly fish, then we're going to fly fish. You know, a lot of times I'll get people on the boat that literally couldn't cast a lure. And I'm not berating them at all. I'm just saying that it just happens.
I laugh about that because I know exactly what you're talking
sure.
about. And, you know, people say, you know, they'll ask me about things like that. And I'll say, I run into people and I said, it can be, you know, people think, oh, we got the greatest job in the world. Well, on the day that you have a bad day of fishing and you got someone that can't fish, mm-hmm. and my phrase is they couldn't catch a fish if it was dead in a bucket and you were pouring it into a net for them. I mean, sometimes I don't know how people could be that way. Thank goodness we aren't that way. But
you know, you, as a captain, you got to face that.
Exactly. But so I knew exactly what you're talking about.
And
kind of laughed.
I'm going to adjust my fishing conditions to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I... you know, it, and also personality gets involved. I've got a charter tomorrow that are three guys that come with me every year.
Mm-hmm.
And they are perfectly capable of throwing lures and won't do it.
Why is that?
It's because they want to kick back, put out baits, and relax and catch fish.
They want to dead stick it.
Yeah, and they love it. You know, they love it. And they caught some beautiful fish last year. And every year they've been with me for, it's been pushing a decade. But they really, you know, that's what they want to do. Well, so it depends some on a personality. Some personalities, I had a guy this week that all he wanted to do was throw lures.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to adjust to my fishermen and then to the fish. But I'm looking at my anglers and seeing what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Because then I you know, I have enough tricks to go ahead and adjust to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to learn. I used to talk to them, find out what they wanted to do, how they wanted to do it. And, mm-hmm. I would gear tackle strictly for that one thing. And when I would run into that type situation you're talking about, it's like you're going, geez, I wish I had a spin rod. Or, you know, someone that they made you think that they were Lefty Craig and fly throwing. You get them on the boat and these guys could, you know, that. You find a lot of these guys that are coming from up north that they're fishing a trout stream and they've only got to make a really short cast.
Mm-hmm.
And they get here and they think that they could pull it off. It's no big deal. And the first cast lands at their foot and it's like just.
I see that a lot, Keelan. In fact, you know, I'm a certified casting instructor. And so I tend to get fly fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting. I will have fishermen that, just like you said, that say, I am an expert fly fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have to worry about me casting.
Well, that's the ones I always worry about.
They cannot get 40 feet. And, you know, and in our area over there, these fish are tough. You got to be able to reach out there and touch them. You got to be mm-hmm. able to cast 60, 70 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll pick up the rod and show them. And it's kind of funny because, you know, you pick up a rod, I use an 8-weight typically on the boat, and you cast it almost the entire fly line. And they look at you like you're a freak of nature, you know. And then you're trying to show them, and they don't know what a double haul is, and they don't know, you know. And it doesn't a lot of times, you know. And then again, it gets back to personalities. I've had people that say, "I don't care, I'm still only going to pick up the fly rod. I will not pick up a spin rod."
Uh-huh.
And great, I'm going to try to make it the best I can. I'm going to try to teach them. I'm going to try to help them. I'm try to do everything we can to see if we can get them on a fish. But to them, it's more important. Maybe they'd only get one fish. Maybe they'll get no fish.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more important for them to try with that fly rod than to do something else,
mm-hmm.
than to pick up a spinning rod. Or other people are the same way about bait. You know, I won't use bait. Others, it's just the opposite. I want to catch a fish. I've never caught a fish, never mm-hmm. caught a big fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a lot of people that caught the biggest fish in their life right there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't matter if they caught it on a chunk of bait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they caught a big fish. And that's cool. You know, so I just have to adjust to whatever my client wants. And
when you're going to cut up, say, bait, to use over there for mm-hmm. your big redfish, what do you prefer? What kind of bait are you going to go to for a natural live bait?
Anything except catfish.
Really?
You know, my favorite bait is not a live bait. You will rarely, and I mean very rarely, I think this year once I put some live shrimp, and I think somebody gave them to me, I put some live shrimp on the board.
Mm-hmm.
I will almost never fish live shrimp. But they certainly will do work, but they work best if you're casting to a fish, and I can do that with a lure.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'll keep frozen shrimp on board. You know why?
Why's that?
Because the black drum love them. And really? They just frozen, just old dead frozen shrimp. But if you keep it frozen, you know, just mm-hmm. keep it in a little cooler frozen. If you run into a school black drum, man, you haul that old stinky stuff on, you put it out there, and boom, you get the black drum. But back to the regular bait, I like a chunk of fish. And mm-hmm. mullet, ladyfish, I'll use pogies I catch on a beach, you know, when I'm king mackerel fishing. I'll freeze them. Use those. I mean, I'll use pinfish, where great chunked up,
mm-hmm.
pigfish, any of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're talking your big, big redfish over there, and you're targeting big redfish,
mm-hmm.
are you going to use big, big bait?
I use a bigger bait anyway.
To keep the pinfish from gnawing it.
To keep the catfish from eating it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to have a piece that's about size of a golf ball.
Okay.
You know, and the only kind of bait I've had over there at fish that I could cut up and not catch a redfish on was catfish. I've tried it. Didn't work.
Well, it sounds like we got to go pay a couple bills, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Andy Thornell Company, outdoor clothing, footwear, and equipment since 1945. Our Orvis Fly Shop is one of the best in Florida, with over 700 fly patterns for saltwater, bass, and panfish. And we have a few hundred trout flies when you head for the mountains. And if you tie your own flies, we stock all of the materials and tools. Waders, vests, and the coolest fishing gadgets, including Boga Grips and Calusa cast nets, are in stock. We wear fishing shirts year-round, and we have some of the best prices on Columbia, Ex Officio, and Under Armour shirts, including the new sunproof t-shirts and the buff head gear. And we realize that you cannot play every day, so we have some unexpected surprises, sport coats, dress shirts, and even neckwear for the gentlemen, and the ladies always find their way back to our custom jewelry shop. Andy Thornell Company, downtown Winter Haven, 299-9999, andythornell.com.
Okay, Steve, cast over there at 12 o'clock right there. See the fish?
How far? How far?
Over there about 40 foot. Cast.
I can't see him. I'm not going to cast till
Steve,
I can see him.
Steve, put your Costas on right now. Those new 580 lenses, you've got to turn around and have them on where you can see these fish, man, or you're going to blow our day.
There they are. Watch this, Keelan. Here they go.
Man, great hookup, man.
Come see us at Andy Thornell Company, downtown Winter Haven.
Mudhole Custom Tackle is the premier dealer for custom rod building. Whether it's rod blanks or top quality guides, Mudhole has everything you need to build your own rods. But Mudhole Custom Tackle is much more than just a component store. Located in Oviedo, Mudhole Custom Tackle is a complete fishing outfitter. They carry everything from spinning tackle to push poles. From fly fishing gear to tackle boxes, Mudhole has it all. You can check them out at mudhole.com or visit them in their Central Florida showroom in Oviedo.
And welcome back to Awesome Fishing Radio. And Captain Keith, when we were leaving, we were wanting to get back into a subject of talking about the seasons and how, what's going on and what do you do at this certain time of season and things like that.
Well, there's a couple things to also remember that's happening at this time. Good things and bad things. Good things are the water's cooling off. Those fish are more active. All right. And the other things that I like about this time of year is football and hunting. Because people are busy worrying about football and hunting.
And they're off of the water.
That's right. And it gives less pressure. And the holidays, the same kind of thing. You know, there's people coming and visiting. There's things going on. You know, people have to go shopping. And boy, it's just, it's a great time of the year. So these fish tend to be less pressured. Now they're feeding more. You'll see the tails more. It's a great time of the year to be out there. Plus, it's more comfortable. There's not as many bugs. You know, it's a really a good time to be out there and enjoy it. So, you know, if you get a chance, this is a good time. Now, there's other things that are happening. Now, right now, and it's late this year, there's a whole mullet run outside on that's going by Port Canaveral and Sebastian. Well, those mullet come from these areas. They come from the backwaters. And while those mullet are running to the south, that means they're disappearing out of our backwaters. And they are. You can really tell now, those finger mullet are dwindling away in there. Well, these fish have been feeding on little minnows and little pinfish and little mullet, and all of that stuff is leaving. But they still have to eat. So right now, we're at the transition zone where they're going from a fin fish diet to a more crustacean-based diet. Crabs, shrimp, periwinkles, those little things that crawl across the bottom, they're eating all kinds of stuff. You know, anything along there. There's even little lobsters in there. A lot of people don't know that. There's little lobsters in Mesquite Lagoon Indian River. Really? Little black ones. Sometimes you can catch them in your net when you're throwing for bait or something. There'll be this little lobster, little black lobster. And you wonder why a little black fly works. You know, it's a good little fly. It's time now to start looking at changes in the colors of your lures. Now, you can stick with the same kind of lures. Like, I brought some jerkbaits in here today, mostly show colors. I fish jerkbaits year-round, but I change the colors. Another great one is like a shrimp, a DOA shrimp kind of thing. Great colors. There's different colors, though, that you want to fish different times of year because they're kind of keen on different things. Now, right now, or what we have been fishing is more fin fish colors. They're going to be like this one I have here. These jerk baits are DOA cows. But you can use, you know, all of us, if you go take a look in our boxes, we have these rubber jerkbait things. Yeah. All right. All y'all have. Something that's, and this one I happen to have, is called a Stark Naked. But it's you can see it's green on the back and white on the belly.
Mm-hmm. It's almost a pearl.
Yeah, almost a pearl. But, you know, let's call, and really by white, I'm meaning pearl, glow, anything that's light color. Mm-hmm. A light color belly, a dark color with a greenish or bluish tinge on the back, imitates all of our little fin fish. We're trying to look like a little mullet, a little mm-hmm. killifish, a little, you know, pinfish, a little pigfish, a little anything out there. And that's why we're using these kind of colors. And they work great in the summertime and in the early fall and when this mullet run's going. And we're still catching fish on these. The other thing that imitates this are topwater lures. Topwaters have been doing very good the last few weeks mm-hmm. because these fish are still keyed on these mullet. Mm-hmm. Now, we're just transitioning over. The topwater bite is not going to be as good when they really start looking at crustaceans.
Okay, because they're going to have their noses down.
Yeah, they're going to be more keen on thinking. That doesn't mean you're not going to catch a few on them. You know, it doesn't mean that if you fish a pearl, like a pearl is a great color, totally a pearl, it imitates a fish, or a glow is a great color. But as the seasons change, they start looking for those darker colored things. Now you start looking at like these other colors are brought in. Like this is the one we're looking at is a golden, kind of dark golden color. It happens to be called a golden brim. Mm-hmm. But anything that's in the motor oils, dark greens, pumpkin seed, pumpkin anything, watermelon with a gold, with a flake. One of the great ones is watermelon with a red flake, watermelon with a black flake. Those kind of dark colors. The other one I brought in, another favorite of mine, is called a morning glory. It's almost a black with some red and silver flake to it. And this one happened to have a bright colored tail to it, but I don't think that's really the important thing that catches them. It's more the dark color. Black, pure black actually works quite well often. So that's when they start looking at these shrimp and crabs, you want to start moving to these darker colors. Mm-hmm. Anything that's a camo, motor oil, dark, you know, anything that you would look at and think that's a green, a brown, those are the kind of colors we want to start going to once fall, once those waters start really cooling off and our bait fish start dropping off.
Hmm. I noticed on these DOAs the tail has sort of like a paddle tail, but they're like two legs stuck together. Do you break them apart or do you leave them together?
You know, the truth is, Keelan, another lure I often use is I'll take a 7.5-inch worm, bass worm, and cut it in half. Mm-hmm. Now, that's about the ugliest thing you could ever use.
Mm-hmm.
And it works great. You can cut the tails off of these things, and they work great. In fact, one of the best lures out there, as far as I'm concerned, is made by Exude. It's called a dart. And this dart is like a short, fat worm kind of thing. It's only mm-hmm. like 3.5 inches long. And it has no tail, has no anything. It's the action you give it that's going to get your fish. It's mm-hmm. There's no redfish that's going to go look up and go, you know what? I think that tail is split. By George, I'm going to eat this one. Mm-hmm. You know, they're more reacting to something that's a properly presented bait. Now, one thing that is really serious that if, for those of you that don't know, is a redfish has really good taste and smell.
Mm-hmm.
Much better than most people expect. And if you touch one of these lures after touching tobacco, after touching sunscreen, and after touching human food, it's worse than gasoline. And a redfish will grab it and spit it out so fast. Trout, too. They'll grab that thing and spit it right back out. So, you know, that is an important thing to know. Most people, when they talk about using scents on baits, what it really helps is not with the strike. It helps mask our odors for when they pick it up. They go, it's kind of tasty. And they hold on to it long enough for you to get a hook set in them.
Mm. Have you gotten into spraying your rubber baits down with scent?
Well, and that's my whole point, is that when you do spray them with scent, it's not to get a bite.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a bite because of the action mm-hmm. of how you present it. You're going to get them to hold on to it and not spit it out as fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, when they grab onto it, they're going to go, is this real? And if they can pretty soon figure out, this isn't real, I'm going to spit it out. And they're going to go, phew, it's out of there.
Exactly.
But if you have a scent on it, well, hey, they may hold on to it a little bit longer, and that might be just long enough for you to reel down on them and set the hook and have a fish you wouldn't have.
In bass fishing, we used to spray them down with garlic-flavored oil. Right. And the company that made it, was here in Lakeland for a while, and I think they went out of business finally. And we found that the cooking spray garlic oil from Publix works just as good.
Well, I have no idea how that's going to work in saltwater. I can tell you that they are very picky about their scents. For example, one of the very common bass scents is called Yum, and they love it. The bass love it. You take it and watch a redfish grab it, they'll grab that and spit it right back out. Really? Very fast, very fast. So, and I've tried some of their lures. They get the strikes great, but they don't like the scent. They recognize that that's not the right kind of scent for them.
Mm-hmm.
So you do want to kind of be careful about your scents when you're talking about these kind of fish. You know, don't make the assumption what works in freshwater works out here, because it does not. Mm-hmm. And if you want to address that, we can, because I see people all the time going bass fishing over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what they're doing, and they're not catching fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're going bass fishing, and it's a different kind of world. It's a different kind of thing, and you do have to approach it differently.
Well, I think that's a good place for us to go ahead and take another break. And Keith, if you'll take a minute to give everybody your phone number and your website again.
Sure. My phone number is 321-279-1344. That's 321-279-1344. And my website has a ton of information. Go to it. It's CaptainKeith.com, but it's C-A-P-T, just C-A-P-T dash, like a minus sign, K-E-I-T-H.com. So it's C-A-P-T dash K-E-I-T-H.com.
And I'll have to say that website has a lot of information, so y'all go check him out. And we'll be right back after these messages.
This is Captain Steve Nichols here of Awesome Fishing Radio, and along with Captain Keelan, our passion is fishing and helping others catch fish.
Captain Steve's right. We want to be on the water with our friends and family, not worrying about how we're going to get our boat there. That's why we rely on Rolls Axles trailers. Simply put, they're the most dependable trailer on the market.
That's because they're the only all-aluminum trailers made. They use only high-quality materials to produce a superior product. In fact, they have a patent on their aluminum springs.
And they're so confident that you'll never have to replace them that they offer a lifetime warranty on the springs. By using a combination of aluminum and stainless parts, Rolls Axle has created the only trailer you'll ever need.
They're located at 702 Hitchcock Street in Plant City, and you can check them out on the web at www.rollsaxle.com
or give them a call at 1-888-ROLLS-52. That is 1-888-765-5752. Make sure you told them that you heard about them on Awesome Fishing Radio.
Whether it's shallow water fishing you're after or just a great family time out on the water, Malibu Kayaks make the perfect craft for you. Their 9-foot Mini X is a great all-around fishing kayak with excellent maneuverability for the more serious anglers. The X-Factor model is pure fishing joy. This 14-foot boat is designed for fishing or diving. It has 3 watertight hatches for loads of storage, and it comes outfitted with flush-mounted rod holders and even has room for a live bait tank in the rear. With its sleek profile and dry ride, this kayak has quickly become the official Awesome Fishing Kayak.
It's what we use to reach those skinny water fish you hear everyone talking about. If you want to check out these kayaks, call Action Water Sports at 863-967-4148. They carry a full line of Malibu kayaks and all the accessories to go with them. Tell them Awesome Fishing sent you.
And welcome back to Awesome Fishing Radio. And Captain Keith, when we were left and we were talking about the different color baits and stuff like that, if our listeners were going to come over there to that area and fish that area, well, other than booking a trip with you where you could show them what to do and where to go and how to do it, and where would be the best place? I mean, what would you look for? Where would they want to go at this time of year? As far as, you know, what areas in the flats or what would be,
well, most,
what would you
most look for? Bass fishermen, snook fishermen, grouper fishermen would come over and they say, I got to find structure. They're going to look at drop-offs and stuff. That's absolutely wrong in this case.
Okay.
What you're going to be looking for instead is general feeding areas. And a way to find those is you want water that's underneath, that's less than 2 feet.
Okay.
With patchy bottom. You want sand and grass. You don't want just grass. You don't want just sand. You want sand and grass. And you get those two things, and I like what we call a salt and pepper, which is a whole bunch of little ones. Mm-hmm. Or you can have sometimes bigger sand patches along the edges where the grass is. But you're going to look for general feeding areas. The other thing that's really important is rather than fish the spot, you fish the wind. Mm-hmm. So because this is a stealth game and you have to make long casts, in fact, that's why a lot of bass fishermen don't do well, is they're used to casting 30 feet from the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Most redfish are caught over 50 feet from the boat.
Okay.
So they're not even getting there. Well, you need to be, if you're making long casts, the best way to do that is cast downwind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're moving along, you want to get yourself behind a shoreline where you can drift with the wind or move slowly with the wind or cast downwind nicely. You know, you want to work the wind, and a lot of people don't think that. Instead, they'll just go right into the wind and be trying to throw, you know, lures right into the wind, and it's just not very effective for them.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Now, so do you feel drifting to fish these redfish versus poling? I mean, I would imagine the drifting would be better because of it's going to be quieter.
A good poling is actually a controlled drift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're working a shoreline, well, now poling, if you're really poling, pushing hard, you're usually trying to get from one place to another. But mm-hmm. if you're fishing, you should be moving very slow. It's a hunt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fishing like where you're moving along with electric motor and just casting along.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hunt. You're moving slowly.
You know, and that's something that you talked about just now. I have found we want to talk about that in our next segment.
Okay.
Trolling motors versus push poles and drifts. Because I find so many people, like you said, bass fishing people come over there with their electrics. Mm-hmm. And there's some issues that we're going to talk about that in our next segment. You know. But again, so far as they're going to want to find these areas on the flats that you were referring to.
Right. And, you know, the truth is that in this area, there are fish on every shoreline. Or there can be fish on every shoreline, maybe I should say. Because the way that these fish are, they're not structure dependent. So they're not holding in a single place. They're moving around. The way they feed is to slowly move around. And they'll move from area to area, but they'll stay in the same general area, but they'll move mm-hmm. around. So instead, you're going to have to move around looking for them. And when you do that, you just have to be very quiet as you move along. And you want to find areas. When you see areas that have, like I said, they're modeled, that are changes in the bottom, mm-hmm. not drop-off changes, not structural changes, but changes in the way the grass is, those are the areas you want to be fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And in shallow, a lot of, like I said, less than 2 feet. A lot of people are trying to fish out in 3 to 4 feet of water. And while there are a few fish out there, you're much less likely to catch them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that, you know, when I used to fish over there quite regular, I mean, I used to be there every day when I lived over there. You know, there's a lot of difference, and seasonal change seems to be a lot more crucial over there than it does over here on the west side for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's probably because we don't have that tidal influence and stuff.
Mm-hmm,
and
possibly.
And also you don't have the ocean coming in, the ocean temperatures coming in. It's yeah. really being driven by weather temperature, and that will certainly affect our fish
mm-hmm.
when we get a cold, real cold front coming down or something along mm-hmm. those lines.
Yeah. Well, everybody hang with us. We're going to be back in our second segment, and we're going to be talking a little bit more as far as, you know, what to do, poling, drifting, trolling motors. And we're going to be talking some fly fishing there. So we'll be right back with our next show.
If there's one thing that's vital for every boater to have, it's a faithful battery. Captain Keeland of Awesome Fishing Radio depends on the folks at Battery USA to keep him hustling after the snook and redfish. Serving the Lakeland area since 1970, Battery USA carries a complete line of marine batteries, from starting batteries to deep cycle trolling batteries. Battery USA has the largest in-stock selection of batteries and electrical equipment supplies in the southeastern United States, and they work to meet the strict requirements of the most demanding boater. Located on Cumbie Road in Lakeland, Battery USA is your one-stop shop for all of your boating electrical needs. Don't forget, tell them Awesome Fishing Radio sent you.
Finally, a magazine published just for anglers who fish the Indian River Lagoon, Coastal Angler Magazine, with columns, news, events, and forums especially designed for the Florida fisherman. You can also check out the Coastal Angler online at CoastalAnglerMagazine.com. The Coastal Magazine for the Florida fisherman. Coastal Angler Magazine. It's also the magazine for awesome fishing radio. Coastal Angler, subscribe today. Just log on to CoastalAnglerMagazine.com.
Tampa Bay Stitching Company is a full-scale custom embroidering company that's ready for today's growing corporate and individual needs. With over 16,000 designs on site, Tampa Bay Stitching Company is conveniently located in the Lakeland Square Mall, and they can create unique custom logos for any person, group, or occasion, including clubs, schools, parties, reunions, sports teams, and the list goes on and on. Partnering with their digitizing companies gives Tampa Bay Stitching Company the leading edge on creating special and specific custom logos for you and your business. Whether it's polo shirts, tees, caps, jackets, sweats, or other apparel, Tampa Bay Stitching Company is the complete source for all of your customized embroidery. Again, they're conveniently located in the Lakeland Square Mall. You can reach Tampa Bay Stitching Company by calling area code 863-859-5266. That's the Tampa Bay Stitching Company for all of your embroidering and customization needs.